Thank you, church, for making the ever-important decision to be here today. I am so thankful that you are a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. I'm also thankful to those who may be visiting with us. Please know you're our honored guests. And for those who aren't able to be with us, please, as soon as you can, come back and be a part. I appreciate it so much. I appreciate Scott today. You could tell he's still short of breath. And he's still recovering, but man, just to have you up here leading prayer, brother, I am so proud of you and Deb and just so thankful to God. There are a lot of folks hurting today. There's a lot going on in our church family, in our community's family. So please be in prayer of all those that Justin mentioned. One other thing I would like to add to the announcements is there's a lot of great things going on in December, if you haven't heard. But on December the 12th, there's also going to be some Christmas caroling around here, and our children are awesome doing it. I know that the Johnsons, the Aldridge, play a huge part in that gathering, but on the 12th, the way it's going to happen is we're going to have worship, then we're going to have a meal. We would encourage those who may be, again, as Justin mentioned, you know if we're not going to make that judgment call, if you're a senior citizen, please stay. Because we would like, the kids would like to sing to you all before they go out and do some other singing. So make note of that, December the 12th. It's going to be a great day after our worship service that morning. Today I don't have a PowerPoint, and I apologize for that. But so that means you just got to tune in and focus on some things, and I'll give you some notes along the way. Maybe you want to take some notes. Because I believe today's lesson, it's a hard lesson at times to preach because of the deep content, but I believe it's an essential, I know it's an essential lesson to teach because it's on forgiveness. And so today's lesson I entitled Elevating Forgiveness. Here we are talking about Elevate this year, and we're looking at the person in the mirror. We're examining who we are. What our walk is with God, what our relationship is with God. And so today I want to talk about forgiveness. Now it would be real easy to talk about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to go deeper than that. We're going to discuss that some, but I really need you to focus on forgiving others as God, through Christ, has forgiven us. Because it is a subject that I believe is real easy, even for Christians, to misconstrue. I believe it's a subject that's real easy for Christians to not get. And I believe sometimes we can go and we can worship on Sunday and even worship on Wednesday and probably even read our Bibles and say prayers and still have a grudge against someone else. You see, that's an oxymoron. Grudges and love do not go together. So we want to talk about today what it means to truly elevate forgiveness. In a fallen world, that's what we live in, right? We live in a sin-cursed world. When Eve, then Adam, chose to eat of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, they brought forth sin. And they brought forth cursedness. All this disease, all this sickness, all this death, all these things we're talking about today came because this world brought a cursing on itself. Man brought a cursing on itself. So we live in a fallen world. Forgiveness is essential to maintain close relationships in this fallen world. We all need forgiveness. We're all sinners, and we all need to be forgiven. And if I've been baptized into Jesus Christ, guess what? I've been granted forgiveness. We've all sinned, and chances are we've all been sinned against. Asking for and granting forgiveness are not always easy tasks. Not always easy to do. It's an easy subject to understand. Really, it is. Forgiveness is an easy subject to understand. But it's not an easy subject to always practice, especially on the emotional level. The deeper you have been hurt, the more difficult it is to truly forgive. Husbands and wives, children and parents, relationships inside the extended family, relationships inside the work family, relationships inside the community you live in, relationships inside the church. Sometimes it's hard to understand and practice forgiveness. But I need you to hear this. If you are a Christian, seeking and granting forgiveness are not optional. Okay? If we belong to Jesus Christ, seeking and granting forgiveness is not an option. Jesus said that if you do not forgive others, the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Matthew 6:15, and also Mark recorded it in Mark 11:25. In Matthew 5:23 through 24, Jesus, preaching the Sermon on the Mount, talked about forgiving others being so important that if you are going to worship God and you remember you've got an issue with your brother, then you need to go make it right with your brother before you can come and worship. I also told Justin today, I will use him in a hyperbole type situation. Justin is one of my dearest friends. I love him dearly. We do not have issues together. So I want you to understand this is all hypothetical, okay? But let me illustrate it this way. Justin has offended me. I don't know what he's done, but he's offended me. And Justin hears that I am upset or I have an issue. Now, he should not have heard that from anybody but me. But you know how it happens. Justin has a responsibility. Before we come into this building and worship together, we got to make that right. That's what Matthew 6 teaches. Okay? And so, on that issue, let's say, I'll reference that issue more than others. Again, if you're just tuning in, we do not have a real issue. We would have already worked that out if we did. But you got to understand that if we have this issue, if I have an issue with Justin and I know about it, then I got to make it right with Justin before I sit in this pew, or else I'm just sitting in this pew. Okay? That's what Jesus Christ said, not Terry Cagle. Jesus Christ said it. Ephesians 4:32, really our text today, but I'm going to have a lot of scriptures in all this. Again, you may want to take notes and go back and study them. But Ephesians 4:32, Paul wrote, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Now, the context of Ephesians 4. Paul is showing specific ways in this text, in this section of Scripture, that we are to put on the new man. Remember, when I'm baptized into water, when I'm immersed into water, I'm putting to death the old man. I am coming up to be born again, to be raised, to walk in newness of life. So now Paul's talking about to the church at Ephesus that new man, that Christian that is now washed in the blood of Jesus. He says there in verse 24, "which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." He shows in this section of Scripture how we are to put away all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander, verse 31. We are to replace these sins with kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you, verse 32. Now, for today's text, there's only 2 points, but there's a lot of meat under those 2 points, okay? How do we understand what it truly means to biblically forgive? How can we elevate it in our own lives and practice it on a daily basis. Number one, to forgive others, we must truly understand the nature of forgiveness. What does it mean to ask forgiveness or to forgive someone? Now that seems simple. That seems like an easy context to understand. But in biblical forgiveness, the wrongdoer admits, I sinned against you. And then ask, will you forgive me? The one wronged must respond by promising, I forgive you. That is very different than just saying, hey, I'm sorry. And the other one saying, hey, don't worry about it. For instance, Justin and I again, okay? I have hurt Justin. Justin understands I've hurt him. I have tried to go to Justin and work it out. It's more than just saying, hey, man, I'm sorry about that the other day. Yeah, don't worry about it. Now, you might think, well, that seems okay, but let's break it down and understand. Again, we're trying to understand now what biblical forgiveness really is showing us. Paul says that we are to forgive each other. This is Ephesians 4:32 now. We are to forgive each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. By the way, when you bring your sins to God, and I bring my sins to God, He doesn't say, hey, don't worry about it. We all make mistakes. That's not what takes place. He didn't just brush our sin aside. Rather, our sin renders us truly guilty before God's holy justice. In other words, when I have sinned before God, I have violated His holy law. He requires that the penalty be paid. But in love, He sent Jesus Christ to pay that penalty that we deserved. So when the guilty sinner repents of his sin and lays hold of Jesus Christ, right? What does God do? He graciously and totally forgives the debt of sin. Thanks be to God. When the sinner lays hold of Christ and lays the sin before the throne of God, God graciously and totally forgives the debt of sin. He then, at that moment, releases the sinner from the guilt of his sin. God promises not to remember those sins against him in the sense of not bringing them up again for judgment. And God has reconciled the sinner back to Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that is the process of a sinner going before God. Guys, y'all with me up there? Y'all paying attention? This is real important. Okay? Forgiveness is the decision to drop the offense. The decision to drop the offense. To let it go. You following me? So, if I go to Justin, Justin, will you forgive me? Now, we're going to talk about some biblical responsibilities we have as Christians to each other. But the reality of it is this. He's not to just brush aside what I've done. Because my soul could be lost. Do you realize that? That if I have a brother in Christ who has sinned against me and I just brush it aside, well, if they truly haven't gotten things right, then guess what? Their soul could be at jeopardy. It really could. So we need to understand the biblical forgiveness now, that's what we're trying to get here, it involves at least five aspects. And you need to know them. We all need to know them. Here they are. Number one, biblical forgiveness releases the offender from the guilt of his sin. When God forgives us, now understand, we're not God, but it's the same concept here. When God forgives us, He brings down the gavel, right? He brings down the gavel, He's the judge, in His courtroom, and He declares not guilty. Case dismissed. The guilty sinner bears his guilt no longer. When you and I choose to forgive someone, we too must let the matter drop, releasing him from his guilt. Now, let me get specific. I don't know what I've done, but let's just say I've gossiped against Justin. I've gossiped against his family. By the way, I love his family more than Justin. So, y'all know I would never gossip against this sweet family. But, you understand the point. I just got to make sure y'all are with me every now and again. So I've gossiped against Justin's family, okay? And so, I come to Justin, maybe I am literally on my knees because I really want to be reconciled to my brother. I say, Justin, will you please forgive me? I've sinned against you and your family and I'm sorry. Well, then he says, yes, Terry, I'll forgive you. Maybe we hug it out, maybe we fist bump it out, whatever it is. We pray together. He is not to run to his brother-in-law, Jeff, and say, man, I can't believe Terry. You know, he just keeps gossiping about my... Why? Because he released me. He dropped the matter. That's biblical forgiveness. So number one, five aspects of understanding biblical forgiveness. Number one, to release the offender, that's what it does, from the guilt of sin. Number two, it's to refuse to bring up the offense to use against the offender. We do not have to fear standing before God someday because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. Today, if you are forgiven, don't fear the judgment because God said, not guilty. Jesus paid the price, right? To forgive someone, Justin and I, am I gossiping against his family? To forgive someone is to promise to not bring the matter up again to use against him. Maybe Justin wants to be the preacher here. I mean, he is a great preacher. He's a great man. Maybe one day that'll happen. Who knows? But he goes to George or one of the other elders and say, hey, you need to probably move Terry out because he gossiped against my family one time. Now, I know you're thinking that's silly. And in some levels it is. But I need you to understand this is what hurts the church sometimes. When people have been forgiven, we keep bringing that garbage up. That is not biblical forgiveness. Sometimes, now, it may be necessary as a reference point in a point of teaching or some type of restoration to bring that before. Again, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 18, right? Sometimes it's got to go before the church. It's got to go before the elders. Sometimes it may be proper to impose consequences to teach the seriousness of sin. God did that with David and Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 12:9-14. It also may be proper for a forgiven offender to be required to make restitution. If I committed a crime, then I might need to be prosecuted and go to prison, right? But when we forgive that person, we should not bring up his sin to accuse or condemn him or to win an argument or make ourselves feel better. Thirdly, under understanding the concept of biblical forgiveness, once I've forgiven someone, I need to refuse to think about the offense. Now, hear me out on this. I didn't say I don't need to ever think about the offense again. I don't think that's possible. But when it comes to my mind, I need to refuse it. Okay? Thankfully, God is not up in heaven rehearsing our forgiven sins every day. You remember that time Terry did that to me? Wait till he, I'm going to nail him with it. That's not the way God remembers it, right? In fact, for us, though, this is one of the most difficult aspects of forgiveness, especially when the wrong was very serious. I'm not saying gossip against Justin's family is not serious. It is. It's a sin. But what if somebody harmed his family? What if somebody harmed my family, hurt my family in a lot of ways that could happen? When that thought comes to our mind, again, God can remember it no more. He's God, though. When it comes to our mind, again, the devil's going to throw everything against us, isn't he? When he puts in our mind, don't you forgive that person. Remember what they did to you, what they did. You need to remember, don't you get da-da-da-da-da-da, right? We need to deliberately direct our thoughts to other things. Perhaps how God's forgiven us. Fourthly, again, there are five aspects. Once I understand and forgive my brother or sister, I need to, number four, refuse to talk to others about the offense. If you say that you forgive someone, if I say I forgive someone, and then tell others about the offense, that I'm trying to make the offender pay, that's not forgiveness. If I'm trying to evoke sympathy or admiration from others at the offender's expense, that's also wrong. And I believe that happens a lot, even in the church. We forgive somebody. Somebody's walked forward. They've been forgiven. We bring it up about this and that. Not saying we shouldn't use our wiseness, okay? If somebody harms children, for instance, they can be forgiven before God, but that doesn't mean I have to go let my children hang out with them. You understand? I'm not saying that. But I do not need to bring them down in a gossip way about their sin. When we forgive, we choose to drop the matter, unless the matter could put someone else in danger. Fifthly, under understanding biblical forgiveness, to be reconciled with the offender, this is what I need to be. I will need to be reconciled with the offender as far as biblically possible. Okay? It's important. It's an important subject. God forgives us so that we may be reconciled to Him and in order to enjoy a close relationship with Him. That's what God wants. He wants us to be bought back, right? Through Jesus Christ, our sins have been washed away. He brings us back so that we can be close with Him again. When we forgive others, we should also seek to restore the broken relationship. That does not mean that I need to be best friends with that person, that I have to be best friends with that person. It doesn't mean that I have to be, they have to be in my circle of influence. No, that's not what it means at all. But I need to try to repair the broken relationship so that it at least can mean that we are cordial and friendly towards the person. To say, I forgive you, but I never want to see your ugly face again, is not to forgive as God forgives. Of course, if the offender does not truly repent of the sin, we cannot be truly reconciled to them in a close relationship. But even then, we are still commanded to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, and pray for those who mistreat us, Luke 6, 27 and 28. So biblical forgiveness is a decision to release the offender from the guilt of his sin, to refuse to bring up the offense to use against him, to refuse to think about the offense, to refuse to talk to others about the offense, and to be reconciled to the offender, if at all possible, biblically. With all of that being said, again, we're still understanding biblical forgiveness under this first point. I told you there's a lot of meat under them. There are at least four things that we need to understand biblical forgiveness is. Number one, it's costly. Biblical forgiveness is costly. It costs God the death of His beloved Son. That's costly. It will not cost us that much, but it could still be very costly in our lives. I've heard of stories of parents who have forgiven the murderer or molester of their child. That's costly. At the very least, it costs us the time and effort to go to the offender and try to work on reconciliation. It does not happen automatically. It does not happen when we're passive. It doesn't happen just in some sleep somewhere. It takes time and effort. Number two, biblical forgiveness is undeserved. God forgave us by grace alone, which is undeserved or unmerited favor. If someone must earn it, it's not forgiveness. If you will make that person pay or do some type of penance, that's not forgiveness. So if I go to Justin and he says, hey, you pay me $100, I'll forgive your family. I mean, I'll forgive you for hurting my family. Well, that's not biblical forgiveness. Number three, biblical forgiveness is total. God doesn't just forgive some of our sins. Saving some other sins to bring up later to us when He needs to make leverage against us. That's not the way God works, right? Remember, we are to forgive as God, through Christ, forgave us. So that's why we're doing this back to God. That's biblical forgiveness. So, we need to understand, God forgives all of our sins, 1 John 1, verse 9. So we can't say, Justin can't say, if I did two sins against his family, he said, hey, I'll forgive you for this one, but not for the other one. It's got to be total. And then finally, biblical forgiveness is final. God doesn't say, if you do that again, I'm revoking your previous forgiveness. Does He? He says in Hebrews 10:17, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. To forgive someone is to dismiss the case against them, to not bring it up again. Much more could be said, but that gives us a pretty good understanding of the nature of biblical forgiveness. So it leads to the second and final point of the day. I know you've already said you had 100 points already, but I told you there are just two. There's a lot of meat under them. How then do we put it into practice? Number two, to forgive others, we must understand the perspective needed for forgiveness. What is the motive behind it? Why do we do it? Many have rightfully discussed the benefit that forgiving others will bring to you, and I've done that myself. It is true. You and I will benefit by forgiving others. We'll get rid of our bitterness, which eats at our soul. We will enjoy restored relationships with others, along with many other blessings. But the benefits for us are really the byproducts of forgiveness. Our focus should not be on what biblical forgiveness does for me, but rather on what it does to glorify God and love others. Please hear this. The motive in forgiving others should be to glorify God who has forgiven you. In Ephesians 1:7, the forgiveness of our sins is according to the riches of His grace, so that we will be to the praise of His glory, verse 12, if someone sees how much you have forgiven someone else and praises you for it, we got to be quick to divert the praise to God who has forgiven us of so much. We need to remember how and how much God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. When Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, he could have become a very bitter young man. Instead, he chose to forgive his brothers. After their father died, they feared that how he would use his position of power that he'd use it to get revenge on them. But Joseph acknowledged God's sovereignty and goodness. And he said to them in Genesis 50, 19 and 20, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me. But God," he diverted it to God, right? "He meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." Now, if someone is unwilling to repent, you might can let it go, but you can't release them of that. You see, Justin, for his family's sake, if I never come to him and say I'm sorry, he may choose to move on in life and not dwell on it. But if we don't work it out, that could hurt my soul. By the way, if a person's not willing to repent, they will face God's justice someday. 1 Peter 4, 17 through 19, Revelation 18, 20, Revelation 19, 1 through 3. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, and He will repay. So we're free to forgive, Romans 12, 19. Paul tells us to be kind and tenderhearted toward those who wrong us. We should do that rather than be bitter or angry. Oftentimes we do not know, and this has been in my life, the people that have wronged me, most of the time they had a lot of issues going on beyond me. I need to say it this way. Unfortunately, it happens to those who are closest to us. If a husband and wife can't forgive one another, then there's an issue there. It's a biblical issue. But if I go home today, and Michelle and I are good as well, but if I go home today and I say, "Honey, I am so sorry for hurting you in this way. Will you please forgive me?" And she forgives me, guess what? 10 years down the road, 10 days down the road, 10 months down the road, 10 minutes down the road, she can't say, "You remember that time?" And we got to practice that, husbands and wives. We got to practice it, children and parents. We got to practice it in our community, in our workforce. We got to practice it in our church. Why? Well, it's not fair. The world this, the world that. I get it. But we are called out of the world. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Final thing I got to say today is 490. 490. That's what Gabriel read to us earlier. Jesus said 70 times 7. Now by saying we are to forgive those who sin against us 70 times 7, Jesus was not limiting forgiveness to 490 times. At 491, you just write them off. No, that's not the case. It was a number that is, for all practical purpose, beyond counting. Christians with forgiving hearts not only do not limit the number of times they forgive, they continue to forgive with as much grace the thousandth time as they do the first time. Christians are only capable of this type of forgiving spirit because the Spirit of God dwells within us. And it is God who provides the ability to offer forgiveness over and over and over again, just as God forgives us over and over and over again. Forgiveness is needed. Forgiveness of our sins. Forgiveness of those who are our brothers and sisters. Today it's a very simple question. Do you need forgiving? Do you need to forgive others? There's a song of opportunity. And if you have a need, come right now as together we stand and sing.